Well, if you're not in Genesis 12, I ask you to look there as we continue the series, Old Testament Stories of Faith. And the context here in Genesis, as we think about all of what happened with Abraham, or at least the beginning part of it, Abraham was, of course, Abram at this time. He's married to a woman named Sarah, and the stage is set by the way she was barren, without any children, and older in age, and it starts to talk about this family from the place called Ur. This family had a father named Terah, who's Abraham. There's Abraham, and there's brothers. And then something else happens. Terah, Abraham's father, decides to move his family over towards Canaan. He heard about the place, and he is going to move in that direction, but he doesn't go all the way. But he makes it towards the place, to the place called Haran. And a lot of people read this mistakenly and think that Abraham decided to move again. But he first moved to Haran, then he later decided to go to Canaan. But if you look so closely in Genesis 11, you'll see that it was Terah, the father, who first decided to move. Doesn't go all the way. And the stage is set, though. Here's Abraham's father, who starts to move them towards Canaan, where God is going to do this great thing in Abraham, his perfect plan through what would happen with Abraham and his family. And what we learn from Abraham here, I think, as we think about following God in faith, is where this excitement and the joy of following God is really all about. Following His call, being in touch with Him, knowing the will of God, moving with God, and following God's leading. We can learn some great truths as we think about walking in faith that will help us today and what God has in store for us. Where does the passion to serve the Lord and follow the Lord flow from? Where does it come from? How does God speak to us today? We know He does through His Word, of course, but how does that work? What does that look like, if you will? Well, there's three main things I want to look at today. Number one, when we're talking about walking by faith with God, we look at the story of Abraham, we see that God's call always involves a personal contact and personal relationship, of course, with God. So we're talking about God wants an intimate, involved relationship with everyone who's following Him. And we learned that in Abraham's story. I like what Peter Lewis said. He said, God through Abram reaches the many through the one, meaning there'd be this great nation, through Abraham. And if the many are precious, so is the one. That's how important it was that God wasn't just going to do something great through Abraham as to what would happen with the nation of Israel, but it was about what God was doing in Abraham's life as well. God wants a personal relationship through Jesus Christ with every one of us. And the fact is, God is a personal God. That's why God works in our lives in intimate ways, speaking to us through His Word and through the Holy Spirit that's at work in our lives, leading us and using circumstances. And sometimes we feel discouraged, don't we? We're not understanding, maybe sometimes we go through one of those hard times, we don't understand what God's doing in our lives, as we're talking about in the book of Habakkuk. You know, those confusing times, we start to wonder now, what is God going to do with my life now? How am I making an impact for His kingdom? And am I really following the Lord and His will right now? Am I really going to make a difference? But when you look at the biblical examples like Abram, like Noah, like Nehemiah, Moses, many of them, you find that God is making contact with each one. He's going to use each one of them in a variety of circumstances. And certainly there's similar things we learn between all of them, but God works uniquely in these different believers' lives and through the circumstances they're in, and God has a call for them. And while it's true that God chose to use Abraham in a unique way, obviously it's never going to be done again, to be the originator of the Israelite nation, the father of the Jewish faith, and we know the New Testament tells us the father of our faith, in a sense, because it's all connected. And while it's true, God must have spoken to Abram in an audible way, but, you know, we know God doesn't normally do that today, where it speaks to His Word, but we have the full Bible, the Holy Spirit living in us, and they didn't have that altogether, these Old Testament saints. Nevertheless, the way God works in Christians' lives today, we can see some very similar truths there. We see principles there that carry over to today as we seek to walk in faith as Christians living today, even though God is great and mighty, He's overseeing the entire world. When it comes to the Lord, our God, individuals don't get lost in the mix. God works with us as individuals. He cares about every single one of us, what problems you're facing, decisions and choices you have to make, giving you His desires, His will. He wants to guide every single Christian and believer in the very best that He has for us. And today, in a similar way to Abram's experience, knowing the call of God as we walk in faith and follow His leading, we know that involves Him, first of all, personally leading us. We want to understand what that looks like. Like somebody said, you don't experience God's call as if it's in the second person. It's a very first person, personal experience. Reminds me of the story that Brennan Manning tells of this older man who was dying of cancer. And the man's daughter had asked the local pastor to come and pray with her dad. And when he got there, he found this man lying in bed. His head was propped up on two pillows. And there was this empty chair over beside his bed. And the pastor assumed that this old guy had been informed that he, the associate pastor, was coming over. And he saw the empty chair. The pastor said, well, I guess you were expecting me. And he said, no, the man said. He said, who are you? And the pastor said, well, I'm the new associate minister at the church, you know. And when I saw the empty chair sitting there, I figured you knew I was coming. And he said, oh, yeah, the chair. He said, would you mind closing the door? The old man said, and puzzled, the pastor shut the door. And the man replied, he said, well, I've never told anybody this, and I'm a Christian. I haven't even told my daughter this, but all my life I didn't really know how to pray for a long time. And I heard the pastor talk about prayer, but it would go over my head. But I sort of stopped praying as much for a while until this Christian friend of mine about 5 years ago, my best friend actually, Joe, told me, he said, prayer is just a simple matter of having a conversation with God. Talking to Jesus. Talking to the Father. And he told me, here's what I suggest. Sit down on the chair and place an empty chair in front of you and talk, just like you're talking to me. Talk to God. Talk to Jesus. And listen to Him. Read His Word. And he said, Pastor, I've tried that at that point and like it so much that I do it now 2 or 3 hours every day. But he said, I'm careful, though, because my daughter, she's not a Christian yet, and if she saw me talking to that empty chair, she'd either have a nervous breakdown or send me to the funny farm. Well, this pastor was moved by it and encouraged the man to keep praying, and he went back to church. And 2 nights later, the daughter called this pastor and told him that the dad had died that afternoon. And the pastor asked her, well, did he die in peace? I knew he believed in the Lord. And she said, well, yeah, when I left him about 2, he told me a joke, kissed me on the cheek, and when I got back from the store, he was gone. But she said something strange happened. Apparently, just before Dad died, he leaned over and rested his head on this chair beside the bed. Do you have the experience of following God and really knowing He's leading you as you're reading in the Word, as His Spirit works in your life, as you go through difficult times even, that you know God is showing you things? If you have that experience when the preacher is preaching, you should, that the Spirit is speaking to you just personally. That's not because the preacher's read your mail, you know, and trying to figure out what's going on in your life, or that, you know, he wants to step on your toes. That's the Holy Spirit working in a believer's life because it's person to person. God is at work in your life. It's that sense of God is speaking to me. He's showing me what His Word means to my life now, what the gospel means to my life in this situation now. God wants that to be true. We see that in Abram's life. And that's why we need to spend time in the Word of God, while we hammer that and talk about how important it is to be in your Bible and to pray and to study God's Word and to hear sermons and Bible studies. Because God wants to work. He wants to speak to you. He wants to show you what His life in Christ for you is about. And certainly, there are things that are altogether the same for us as Christians, that are the same for every Christian. But God doesn't have cookie-cutter Christians. He works in our lives in different ways, in unique ways. We're all saved by grace through faith alone in Christ. We all come the same way. We all have God's Word. But we're uniquely led by Jesus Christ. Now, Abram was about 75 when this happened. He was getting older. But what you see and people in the Bible like Abraham and Moses and Paul, they didn't retire as they got older. God was just beginning to do great things through their lives. And why did they have such a passion for God till the end? Because they were in a personal contact, knowing the Lord was leading them every step of the way. I like what John MacArthur said about Abram. He said, as soon as Abram understood what God was saying, he started packing. He was ready to go. Tom Holliday said, this is not the experience of God pushing you around. No, it's not that sense. Instead, it must have felt like God wanted to be intimately involved in Abraham's life. And the point is, Abraham experienced firsthand the blessing of God's grace in his life. And when in the context of this relationship with the true God, that he knew God was saying to him in Genesis 12, go, Abraham left. Like the disciples who dropped their nets and followed Jesus. And what we're talking about here is that developing personal sense, an assurance and confidence God brings in Christians of all types as he desires to speak to us and has something to say just to us. Can we say that that is true with each of us as Christians? This may seem at times certainly that it's more real, so to speak, or you sense it more, but it ought to be a part of our Christian lives. More and more that's what's happening. It's like the story I like of this youth minister. The head pastor of the church used this minister's dog for a children's sermon one time. And it was the youth pastor's dog. And so the pastor got up there and he tried to throw the ball to get the dog to fetch. And the dog wouldn't do anything. Apparently church authority wasn't enough for the dog. And then he had the banker up there. The banker pulled out money and the dog wouldn't move. And then he had the whole congregation stay together, fetch. And he threw the ball. But the dog wouldn't move a muscle, wouldn't flinch. And then the pastor had the youth minister come up to the platform, casually lean over. The youth minister did, because it's his dog, and he said, fetch. And the dog went down the aisle and came back with that ball for the youth pastor. And of course, the point is, that dog knew the master's voice. We know our master's voice. That dog wouldn't flinch for things. He wouldn't move until he knew his master was speaking to him. This is what we want to see happening. And the sharpening of our spiritual sight, knowing what God is leading us to do and where he wants us to go, it comes as we grow and rest and trust in the Lord and walk with him and stay in tune with him. And then through that personal contact, we know more and more when the Lord wants us to obey and when he wants us to take that next step, or he doesn't want us to do that next thing. So today, we know God is calling us when we experience that sense of him directing us through his word, through the Bible, through Bible study, through a sermon, through whatever it is, that quiet time, we're in God's word, the Spirit is leading us. And we might feel a sense of butterflies about it, or how is this going to work out sometimes? Yes, but ultimately we have this sense of assurance that God is leading us. God is calling us. He's told us to do that. He's going to give us the strength to carry it out, the courage to overcome fear, and to do what he's called us to do. We ought to develop more and more that sense of a growing inner peace and a growing conviction through contact and personal walk with God. And that what happens is our faith in God is calling us and leading us. It increases more and more. There's an excitement and anticipation in what God is going to do, because you know the Lord's at work through your life and through his word. And in your circumstances, you'll step out of faith. It's what we see happen in Abraham's life here in Genesis 12. And I'll never forget when I first met my wife many years ago. Well, I must have been married 20 years now. But when I first met her, and we were dating, and I had a sense that there's something different about this lady. And I was struggling in some sense wanting to really do what God wanted me to do. Was she the one? And I kept praying about it. And the Lord kept leading me to the passage where Peter is on the boat, and Jesus is on the water. And the Lord kept saying to me in that passage numerous different times, it's me. It is I. Come out. This is what God does. He'll lead us. He'll use circumstances. He'll most of all use his word and help us to know that he is with us, and he'll help us to do what he has called us to do. That we are in his will and we are following him in a variety of different situations. God will do that as he builds up excitement and anticipation of what he has for us and what he's calling us to do. And the second thing is this, not only personal contact, if you walk by faith and follow God's call, it involves constant commitment from God. There's a personal God that we're in a relationship with, but there's a God who makes promises. It involves his commitment. And you see this promise here that God makes to Abram that's the basis of him following and leaving Ur and going forward to where God had called him to go. And we see in these verses here, God uses the phrase, "I will," five times. Look at that. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, your father's house, and go to the land that I'll show you. And get this, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you'll be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all people on earth will be blessed through you." Five times God says, "I'm going to do this." Everything is based on what God will do. And I know we're not just like Abraham. We're not in the same situation as Abram. We live after Christ's coming. We've got the completion of God's word. But the fact is, God still chooses individuals in Christ to follow him for the purpose of what he's called us to do. For grand things that are part of his kingdom and what he's building. And he blesses us to be a blessing in Christ to those that are around us. We're called by God as a church here to be a blessing to the community around us. Abraham had that sense, I believe, as he followed God. He didn't know where he was going, but God was going to do this. God had made a promise. God had a powerful commitment to Abraham. Gave him promises of this incredible thing that Abraham would be a part of. He couldn't have understood all of what it would be. Of course not. But he had a sense that he was going to be part of what God was going to do to change the world. And it would be through his line. He would make him a great nation. And he'd be a blessing. And God would be involved in it. And he would make his name great. And he'd be a blessing, but also those that cursed him, God would curse. God was with him. Reminds us, as Romans 8 says, that God is for us. If he's for us, who can be against us? God has shown us that in the greatest way we know in Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes you'll hear people talk about how God's telling them to do something, and they just talk about the command part, which is important, obviously, but they don't talk about the promise side of it. That God says, this is what I'm going to do, you're to be a part of it, it's my command, but with the command comes the promise. My stamp, that I'm going to be with you, I will do this, I will lead you. God says this. He doesn't tell us all the details, and Abraham didn't know all of where he was going to go, how it would work out. He knew little of that, but he knew God had made a promise. And God would take care of him and lead him. It's not a matter of, like some people want to say, well, I don't know how God's going to do this, and I don't have any sense of how God's leading me in his word, but I'm just going to do it. Now, I think God shows us a certain amount and helps us understand who he is, and his faithfulness. And it will be difficult, of course. There'll be unknowns, as it was with Abraham. But there's this experience of a deep sense of God's commitment. Personal, powerful commitment. God is going to work through your life. You're walking in faith. God is going to use his church. He's leading us as a people. He's going to bless us to be a blessing. He's going to do great things. We have that sense. God's leading us. This is God's word, and we're following him. This is more of where his will is, and we want to trust him. And God's going to be with us in all of it. He's going to do incredible things. That was the sense that Abraham must have had. God's going to do something unimaginable. Incredible. He comes and says, "Abram, leave your country and go to this land that I'll show you." And God doesn't give us all the directions we'd like to have, does he? When he leads us, we have to step out in faith. A lot of times we want him to show us more things, don't we? But God says, "Go to the land that I will show you." He promises he'll lead him. He'll show him. God's with him. God's made the promise. And we want to say sometimes, well, God, show me now, and then I'll go to the land. But that, God doesn't work that way, does he? No. We tend to say, Lord, you know, if you'll just help me to see more of the plan, then I'll take the next step. But God says, no, you walk in my word, trust me, and you walk together as a church, and you take the next step, and I'll start to show you more of my plan. You've got to walk in faith. Get into the word. Grow in the gospel. This is the way God works. And as I've said before, even recently in the Habakkuk, one of the sermons, I found that, you know, a lot of times, if God, I really realized, look, if God showed me all the things that I might think I want to know, I'd be afraid, you know? And more than that, I would want to trust myself. I'd say, oh, I've got it all figured out, instead of learning to walk in faith with him. Faith is in God, not in myself and how I've got everything figured out. The point is not that God shows us everything about where he's leading us, because hopefully you know that he doesn't do that. Step by step, his word is a light unto our feet. Psalm 119, right? But the truth is, when you know God, you're in that personal walk with him in Jesus Christ, and you're in his word, and you sense he's starting to call you to do what he's called you to do, it's confirmed in the circumstances, most of all in his word, and the sense of the Spirit leading you, and he wants you to serve in a new way, or he wants you to give, he wants you to be involved in what he's calling you to do in some new way, or make a change, or he's calling us to do something as a church for his glory. We know it's based in his word. It's always going to involve a couple things. Number one, of course, the truth. It's going to be based, it has to be based, on his promises and his truth. We see that in Abraham. And then number two, timing. That sense of in the circumstances and the Spirit's leading us, and we're basing it on his truth, that he's leading us into the next step of what God's calling us to do as individuals or as a church. It's interesting to me how God comes to Abram. God doesn't say to Abram, you know, have you ever really thought maybe about possibly moving? You know, have you ever considered that before? God doesn't do that, does he? He doesn't say, well, Abram, how would it make you feel? You know, have you ever really thought about moving? He doesn't say, well, what's your opinion on making a move? God saying, I'm going to go with you. I will do this. Now go. Leave. And that sense of us being in his word and following what he's calling us to do and walking in faith is going to have that sense as individuals and as a church that though we don't know all the specifics, we sense God's power and his promise that he's leading us in that moment through his word, through his spirit, through the open or the closed doors. And this is what God has called me to do. Not maybe, maybe not. God is decisive. God is all powerful. God told him and reassured him, take the next step, and he stepped out in faith. Now, God doesn't speak audibly to us today, at least that's not his normal way, but he speaks clearly through his truth, through his word, and as we pray. And it's like sometimes it's that sense of like there's a dot on the map, and we're here, and God is going to lead us to another area. I want you to be here. I want this growth to come. I want this work to be done in your life. I want this work to be done in the church. And, you know, one of the great things that I've learned over the years is when you're trying to follow what God wants you to do, as we all should be as Christians, we can't always fit. At times we may struggle with what's the next step? What's God calling me to do? And it's like I've said before, you never forget in the dark what God has shown you in the light. When you feel like that time is confusing, what was the last thing the Lord clearly told you? The last thing is word. He's with you. He's spoken. He's shown you in his truth. Stand on that. Wait for his promises. Wait for him to lead you into what he's calling you to do in the situation that you're in, or for us as a church. God came to Abram and said, I want to multiply you. I want to make a mighty nation. I like what Anne Graham Lotz said. She said in this book, The Magnificent Obsession, about Abraham. She said, these were radical promises. They were promises to enlarge the scope of Abraham's life beyond anything that he could have ever thought or asked. The fact is, God wants to work in our lives, work through his church in ways that are above what we think. What does Isaiah 55 say? His ways are higher than our ways. Ephesians 3, He can do above and beyond what we can even ask. This is what God's doing with Abram. See, he's enlarging the scope of his life. God's going to do this incredible thing. God has made the promises. Abram moves forward, trusting God, trusting God's promises. God works in our lives as well. And I believe Abram's obedience was rooted in this sense of excitement of what God was going to do through him as he trusted him. And as God would bring this nation. And where would it go out beyond that? Well, of course, we know that the Savior came from the nation of Israel. There was a son and a nation. There was land. But there was a Savior that would come in the end and fulfill everything. And the basis of Abram's calling and following and knowing God's will, it was the basis, of course, of these incredible promises that God makes. And God spoke into this world that he was in of sin. Just like God does today. In this world we live in of sin and paganism and false ideas, God speaks. And he continues to speak to us as we get in his word. And he shows us, this is what I want you to be about. This is my will. The world you're in, it's cluttered, it's confusing, but you're walking in faith with me. Trust me. Hear what I'm saying in my word and go forward based on my truth and based on my promises. And this is why I believe that Abram must have begun to realize God was calling him to do something amazing, incredible. And so he does a couple of things at the core of his faith and the promises of the one true God. Number one, he decides to move when God calls him to from Haran to Canaan. And we know there's always some unknowns in any change. And when we have to make tough decisions, sometimes there's a lot of unknowns. But faith is stepping out based on the one that we do know. I don't know the future, but I know who holds the future. Abraham didn't know where he was going, but he knew who he was going with. And number two, trust the Lord when God says, you're going to have a son. That's later on in the story. More of how that all happens. But Raymond Brown in the commentary said, Abraham placed his entire reliance on the God who not only called him, but would guide his steps, meet his needs, prepare his future. And that leads me to the final point as we close. And not only is there personal contact and constant commitment from God as we follow his call and walk by faith, God's call always involves continual change. So there's personal contact and there's promises from God, but there's also the power of God. There's a decisive break here that we see that happens in Abram's life. You know, archaeologists tell us that the place Abraham was called to leave, the homeland where they were rooted, Ur, was this beautiful metropolitan city. Ur was where much of the wealth of the world was centered at that time. Most people believe it actually had some shopping malls that they'd unearthed or some type of place like that. It's believed Terah, his father and Abram, were not only caught up in that paganism, but also the worship of idols, false worship. Abram was a very wealthy and successful person there, around 75 years of age to be exact when God called him in Genesis 12, and to cut ties, not only with the place, but with much of his family to follow God. And what does that show us about following God's call? Everything changed for Abram in an instant. When he heard the call, he knew God was calling him. His life was different. God called Abraham out of, as I said, paganism and idolatry by his grace. And so what we sense as Christians, what we see here, is while no following God doesn't feel like he's pushing us around, no, and certainly he's a personal God, and he's a God who makes promises, he's a powerful God. We're following him. The Lord has a plan, a powerful plan, and he calls us. He commands. Knowing God's call, walking in faith, comes as we experience more and more of the sense of what God will do to change our lives. And what he's calling us to do is always about God. For us as Christians, I think we learn here in the story of Abram, if we want to walk in faith, it's always about God taking us into new territory to grow in. Based on the assurance, the bedrock, solid assurance of the gospel, he's going to take us into what he wants us to do as Christians. Christians, as a church. He's going to lead us into where He wants us to go. He's going to change us in Christ-like character as we trust Him, as we take steps of obedience. As we're walking in faith, He's going to use us to reach people for Christ in the community. Again, to do things we could have never imagined that we could be a part of, because it's God doing it. It's not us. So here's a few things as we close. Following God's call involves a distinct, difficult break with the past to begin with, but we continue to put off the old and put on the new, as the New Testament tells us, as we walk with God. It's like what Jesus said. He said, "No one puts his hand to the plow and looks back and is fit for service in the kingdom of God." And farmers will tell you, right, that when you're plowing and you don't look straight ahead and keep your eyes on the area you're aiming for, you're going to zigzag. And this is the image Jesus is giving about the kingdom of heaven. And I found in my life, I know when I've lost my sense of focus at different times of what God's calling me to do and walking by faith, that's when you're going to tend to struggle. You struggle with old patterns of sin. You struggle with not growing, because we're meant to keep our focus. There's a distinctive, difficult break with the past, but God is leading us into the future He has for us in grace. Someone said Abraham was to make a decisive break with the past so he would be more and more open to God's truth. He had to make that commitment as he left, as he trusted the Lord. He didn't know all the details, but he wasn't going to be able to grow and move forward to what God wanted until he made that decisive break. And he left his homeland. He broke ties. He heard God's call, but his knowledge of God and what God promised about is limited. But that's why he had to go. Until he left, God wasn't going to show him more. Well, that's a great principle in our lives. We come to Jesus Christ, we make an about face, we turn from the past and the old ways, and we trust in Jesus, and there's that decision there, but we continue to have to walk in that way. Put off the old, put on the new. And so sometimes when we don't feel excited about our faith, it's because maybe we've kind of treaded back into the old ways. We've stopped walking in newness of life. Putting off the old, putting on the new. And that's what we need to remember. First of all, there's a decisive break that God brings. Secondly, is that it's never too old. We're never too old to follow God's call, and it's never too late. I remember many years ago when I was talking with this guy that I tried to help get into seminary and school at the time. His name is Trent. And I was kind of grumbling about how I was getting old. You know, I was 38 or whatever I was, 35. How I was feeling tired and all that. He said, "Well, it's just a number." And I said, "Well, I'll tell you." I said, "Yeah, but you're only 22. Haran was about 600 miles from Ur, but about 200 miles from the outskirts of Canaan. Ur represented, somebody said, all that was familiar to Abraham, but Haran represented the place of compromise for Abraham. Where because of his family being still there with him, because it would be hard to leave him behind, he could have tried to figure out some other way to do it his way, but it wouldn't have worked. He had to go. It was never too late. The fact is, many times as people get older and they go on in their lives, it's like the old saying, you know, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, guess what? We're not old dogs, and we don't learn tricks. We're walking by faith. And Abraham was 75 when God called him to do what he called him to do. Sometimes we can feel like that as the time is ticking away. We start to feel as if God couldn't use us anymore. Someone said, "Are you wishing you'd been given this challenge 20 years ago? Are you feeling so tired, too forgetful to leave things behind to do what God has called you to do?" But we're never too old. Abraham shows us that. And then finally, following God's call is a process. James Boyce said, "There's a separation here to God with Abraham and to the blessing of his kingdom." You want to follow God in faith? John MacArthur said this, "When any person comes to Christ, God demands of him pilgrimage from his old pattern of living and into a new life. Abraham's faith separated him from paganism and started him towards the new land and the new kind of life." When we hear God's call to follow Jesus, God begins a process, okay, of transformation. in which we're going to desire more and more, if you're a true Christian, to turn from the old ways, leave behind those things that displease God in your life, and walk in the newness of life that God has given us in Jesus Christ. And as we follow and trust Jesus more and more, basing our lives on the truth of who God is, we'll desire His will more and more, and the things of this world will grow old. We'll desire those things as always less and less. And we need to remember that. It is a process. Abraham had to be set free from the drag, somebody said, of his familiar culture that would harm his fresh start with God. Abraham's home in Ur was a pagan place. The ties could easily pull him down and deter him from following God's will. Now, I remember when I first came to know Jesus Christ, there were people that I had to think I had to let go of. It's not because God didn't love those people. It's not because God couldn't use me to reach them at some point. It's because in following Him, if I was going to grow the way He wanted me to grow and leave those things behind, I had to be careful. I had to make a break. God wanted to do new things in me. I was born again in Christ. He wanted to lead me in new ways. And the old can most certainly get in the way of what God wants to do. We need to remember that as we look at the story of Abraham. God won't bless us, I believe, with more and more of what He desires for us in new life and change until we're willing, as He works in us, to leave behind old patterns of thinking and old ways of doing things that are worldly and that maybe are ingrained there that we're not even willing to let go of. Like Hebrews 12 says, what? You're in a race and you've got to put off the sin and the hindrances that are holding you back from running that race as effectively as God wants you to. We all have to go through those times, don't we? And Abraham, the story shows us how we've got to do that the first time, but we continue to do that if we want to grow in faith as believers in Jesus Christ. So as we close the story, let's remember that God's call is personal, and it involves His promises. It involves His power in Jesus Christ. As we look at this story of Abraham, we see that God wants to take us into new things in Jesus Christ. Revelation says He's making all things new. He wants to continue to grow us